West Tigers fans, we may have the bye this weekend, but footy is back finally. Six more games of round one, and we're going to talk about those as well as plenty of things West Tigers tonight. And thank you for joining us on another episode of the West Life Podcast. Welcome into another episode of the West Life Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Barnett. We are sponsored by West Ashfield, the best place to watch the game. Next week, we can watch all the games this weekend, the non-West Tigers games. But for the West Tigers next week, the best place to watch the game, live and loud. And yeah, plenty of footy to talk about this weekend. Six more games, obviously had two games last weekend in Las Vegas, and then so six local games to talk about. Yeah, it's just good to have footy back. And I'll go to Mr. Thompson. How good is it to have footy back this weekend? Something to do.
Yeah, g'day, Josh. G'day, Rob. G'day, everyone listening in. I'm excited to have the footy back. Even though we've got the bye, it's still nice to see almost a full slate of games this weekend, the rest of round one. Looking forward to seeing how the other teams are shaping up and what sort of season we might be in for.
And just sneaking in the nick of time, Mr. Bashara, how are you this evening?
G'day, guys. Got to be honest, I'm not 100% tonight, but we'll fight through it. As Aaron said, looking forward to the round. You know, it's great to have games spread from Thursday to Sunday. So we've got 4 days of footy, or nights and days of footy. So, yeah, looking forward to it. And I'll be keeping a keen eye on our opposition for next week, Canberra, tomorrow night. So we'll have... We'll make some notes on them and give Benji some hints next week.
And a few players to kind of keep an eye on across the league. A certain Melbourne Storm player for myself. We'll talk about team list stuff. Az is going to talk about a few shocks in the team list and that sort of thing as we go across the show. As I mentioned at the top of the show, we are brought to you by West Ashfield, the best place to watch the game live and loud. And that, of course, next week when we take on the Raiders, kick off at 3 p.m. From 3 p.m. to 4 p.m., you can get half-price pizzas and $4.80 schooners of beer. How good. Catch the West Tigers season opener live and loud from the home of the West Tigers, West Ashfield, where you can indulge in half-price pizzas, discounted tap beer, kick off to halftime. Enjoy responsibly, of course. The boys are getting hammered. Don't get too hammered yourself, I guess. Holman Barnes Group, bringing people together. For more information, visit holmanbarnesgroup.com.au, and you can find a link to that as well on our little link. Remember, if you go to westtigers.com.au, there's a link to West Ashfield through there as well. Right, so a little bit of news. As I've said the last couple of episodes, there's not much leaks happening from the West Tigers anymore, so we don't have any rumors or anything to talk about at all. There was a little bit of a Appy Coruscant, this whole how he struggled to kind of, a bit of a beat up headline, how he struggled obviously going from a team that won the comp to the team that run last. He said, I didn't realize that there is a bit more responsibility that comes with being a captain than just playing football and trying to lead on the field, but it was actually a great learning curve. I love the responsibility that came with being captain, and you find out so much more about yourself and other people. It was cool, and I can definitely take a lot out of that first year. But he said, the most challenging thing for me is being on all the time when you're around the boys. I'm a larrikin. I'm actually a piss taker. So having, we kind of learned that, the grand final celebrations the year before, I guess. So having to find that fine line of when to be professional, when to play around a bit too much, has been pretty good this year. That is the biggest challenge. He says on basically going to the Wooden Spooners, I wouldn't say it has been harder than I expected, but I guess it was just more on your plate. It is just about trying to balance everything. But you obviously have got a family life at home. A lot of times you take your work your work home with you. I think because last year was so hard in terms of footy that you go home thinking about what you can do better and trying to help people. So it is trying to find that fine line. Rob, do you think Appy has any regrets? I mean, there's nothing in that story other than the headline that kind of would suggest that Appy isn't enjoying his time at the West Tigers, but obviously winning is awesome and losing sucks.
I think he played his ass off last year. We couldn't have asked for more. I didn't think he was going to be as good as he was. His personality definitely fits into what Benji Marshall's personality is as well, because I think he also says in that article how he doesn't know when Benji's being serious or not sometimes. And I guess, you know, Benji likes to muck around a little bit, as does Appy. Look, he shouldn't be too hard on himself, but, you know, like in the trial, I think he's just got to not overplay his hand and just whatever the game style they want to play is, just do that. Just, you know, lead by example. I think he's got everyone's respect. We know he's got the club's interest, you know, in his heart. So, but you can't do it all on your own, guys. So he can only do what he's play his position properly and, you know, try and make the right decisions on the field, but everyone else has to chip in as well. But yeah, that headline was an absolute, it was a rubbish headline, but I guess I don't mind it too, Josh, because, like, you know, personally, like, I just think you got to really hate losing. If you don't, if you can go home to a degree and switch off, and of course you've got to switch off, but if you play on Sunday, it's got to really be hurting you for 48 hours and you got to try and do everything you can to say, well, what did we do wrong as a team? How do we fix it for next week? Or how do we get better? And I just think you just can't get comfortable with losing. You know, you've got to form good habits, and unfortunately losing becomes a habit as well. So again, it's really important that we get off to a good start. If we can win the first game or second game or the first couple of games together, then we start getting used to winning, but we're not used to being a winning club. You know, we've said it many times already in the few podcasts we've done. It's a big fix, guys. I just think it's so hard to just buy a few players, get, you know, slot in a few different people in different positions and say, oh, we're going to make the eight this year. So, again, we hate to say it, but we've got to be patient. Just want to see some gradual improvement. And, yeah, I'll probably be the least impatient of the lot. But, yeah, we do be patient. What do you think,
Az? I was going to ask, Az, at the start of last year, basically, we're pretty shocked. None of us guessed that Appy Coruscant would get the captaincy straight up, but he ended up being, despite the team only winning four times, I think not one single person could dispute he's the man for the job.
Oh, absolutely. He showed us with his leadership both on and off field last year that he wants the club to succeed. I also remember none of us expected him to extend his contract when he did as well. We thought he'd probably wait until like towards the end of this year to see if he wanted to activate that extra option for him. But yeah, surprised us all that he did that. I think absolutely he's the man for the job. He has obviously experience being at a premiership club. He's played a lot of finals for a few different clubs, and he seems like an all-around good bloke. And like I said, he's a bit of a larrikin, and sometimes you need to be that sort of personality that you want your teammates to enjoy being around you for. Obviously, there's a time to switch on and there are times to switch off, and he's probably going to have learned a little bit more about that over the offseason, and I hope he has, and I'm pretty sure he would have.
In the news elsewhere, the West Tigers, they mentioned they've had 326 new members to the club in the past week. Obviously, last week, Shane Richardson, it was last week, the podcast with Shane Richardson, where he mentioned that we actually never had 20,000 members. It was only 7,000-ish that were actually paid members. So the club said, look, we've got 326 new ones in the past week, and that's up to 7,565 is the new number. And I know a couple of people have tweeted at us at Westlife Pod over the past week saying they've signed up as well. Roberto's back on, and obviously Big Shane back on as a sponsor this year. So as I expect, I think that we'll crack that 10 grand, I reckon. Maybe look, if they win at Leichhardt, they'll beat the Raiders. I mean, they'll smash it. I guess it would a lot will come down to how the team performs now.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's probably going to be the most important thing, is if the team is winning, then a lot more people are going to want to jump on board. I'd say maybe even if the team are losing close competitive games, people will still want to get on board, but they may hold off until potentially end of season or next season before doing that. But yeah, 100%. If we start winning games and if we start well this season, well, look at us now. We're third, so doesn't get much better than that for a Tigers fan, does it?
that's true. We've got 2 points. Rob, you interact with a lot of people, and especially West Tigers fans, be it on and off social media. What's the main reason that people tell you that they're not a member at the moment? Is it basically because the team isn't performing on the field?
I think it's just been years and years of promises that, you know, haven't been kept. And it's a trust issue. And I've got no doubt that everything Shane Richardson's saying is going to come to fruition, whether it's in the short term or whether it's in 3 or 4 years. I know he's going to put everything in place for us to be successful. But, I mean, you don't blame, you know, like, I think the constant leaks have been a big, you know, a big bugbear for a lot of fans. I think, you know, the number of home games, as we've said, there were years we only had 3 games at Leichhardt, 3 games at Campbelltown, and we're playing, what, 20-odd games a year. So I just think there's a lot of things. Obviously, the club not making the finals, the constant, you know, rumours in the press and the negativity that's been created. It's just, you feel bad about yourself. And I think, you know, as a Tigers fan for many years, even before I did this podcast, I mean, that's probably why I started doing this stuff with you, Josh, because it just came out of frustration. It's nothing else. And the frustration is we couldn't do anything, or we couldn't suggest anything, or we couldn't make changes. And thankfully, you know, a lot of the changes in upper management have happened now. So I think some of our fans are a little bit gun shy. There's also some fans that have reached out to me and said the cost is ridiculous. Like they think it's too much. And, you know, like the cost of living so high now, guys. I mean, you know, going to a footy game is not your first priority. You know, you've got to look after yourself and pay the bills, and things aren't getting easier. Interest rates, okay, they're steadied for now, but they've gone up a zillion times. So it's not easy to become a member. So, look, I hope, if we can sort of crack, you know, the 8K after, say, by round 4, I'd be pretty happy with that sort of number personally. Mm. But, you know, it's going to be a big slog, Josh, to get to 10K. You're basically asking to up that figure that you just mentioned tonight by 33%. So, you know, to up it by a third is a big ask. But look, if you don't want to become a member, I think that's fine too. I don't want to be a hypocrite and say, well, you know, Hadji Pentelis went after me because I wasn't a member and I had no right to say something. But the thing is, as a member now anyway, I don't need to say anything. I don't need to speak to Shane Richardson. I trust what he's going to do. But when, you know, the other blokes were running it, like we needed to speak to them. They were just doing such a terrible job. We needed to get the message across. But look, each to their own. But, you know, whether you're a member or not, if you love the Tigers, that's all that matters. Just, you know, be nice if you can get to a game occasionally. But, and you know, if you're supporting on TV, buying jerseys, you know, buying your caps, listening to Westlife podcast, whichever way you get your Tigers
hit. Super chats to us. It's all
good. Just you know, we're all one big family, and you know, like it's nice of people to reach out to all of us and you know, like sort of give their grievances to us, and you know, we're happy to reply back, but we don't know what the right answers are all the time. But you know, if you've got any issues, guys, just contact the club, whether you're a fan or not. Let them know. Let them know what you feel, or you know, how you're feeling.
And I guess it's a good point that you make, because essentially Shane Richardson says it's not more than a ticket to the game. But at the end of the day, the value for the money is in the bulk buy of tickets. As much as anything, that's the main reason I get the Leichhardt membership. I want to get my seats at Leichhardt paid up for all the games that are there and get it cheaper than if I had and the hassle of buying tickets every time they play there. But the cost is very high, and I think it's beyond the West Tigers' fault that, look, you can say cost, but with cost is value. And is it worth $50 per person to go watch the West Tigers, which is what it costs? I think Leichhardt tickets are $50 to go on the hill. a family of four, I think you're looking at 150 or something. So it's a lot of money, but that's like a lot of groceries at Woolies to go and watch the footy. And if the team isn't performing, then you can understand why people won't want to go watch it and therefore not buy a membership. But also, it's so comfortable and easy. KO's $30 a month to get, you can get the footy in 4K on your big screen TV,
yeah,
and watch it at home. The majority, if we've got 200,000 fans and we get 10,000 to a game, that's what, 5% of fans go to the game. So,
well, you've got to make the game day experience better as well.
And exactly.
Shane has acknowledged that, and we've mentioned a couple of times that Canberra game last year where it was basically an 8 o'clock game and there was no entertainment pre-game. There was no game of football of any type pre-game. And, you know, no disrespect to Campbelltown, because I really love going to Campbelltown. I particularly love going there just so we can go to the club first.
Yeah, mate, so
before we go to the ground. It's actually really convenient. But that said, you know, you go to a Leichhardt game and it, you just can't match that atmosphere watching it on TV. Like, you know, the roar, the hype before the game. Like that night we played Penrith at Leichhardt, we beat them without, you know, seven or eight of their Origin stars. That was just out of control. Like that was a raging crowd, you know, desperate for a win. And that's the sort of stuff that, yeah, even though it's only, you know, we had a win there and we still came nowhere. They're the sort of memories, you know, well, gee, that was a great night. I felt good. And I had my son with me and, you know, my youngest son with me and all that sort of stuff. And they're the thing, you just got it. Like, it was like, wow, that was worth it. That was really worth going to a game. But if you go to a game and there's no entertainment, no atmosphere, and your team's going like a busted, well, yeah, then it's like all of those factors do not contribute to you wanting to go there. So hopefully the club finds, you know, good entertainment, you know, some halftime entertainment, pre-game entertainment, crowd involvement, you know, kicking the ball competition, catching it, whatever the case may be, just something, like just make it, you know, like, you know, basketball sort of do a good job of it. You know, I don't think AFL do too much, but we've just got to make it better. It's like, what's going to get everyone out of the comfort of their own home and watching it on TV? Because we can watch a full game on TV like tomorrow night and we get replay after replay with the best angles. And at some of the grounds you go to, like, I don't think my seats this year, particularly at Leichhardt, are any flash. Like, they're not good. They're not in the grandstand. They're pretty close to the fence and they're not elevated. But I don't care. I just want to be there. I just want to, like, cheer my team on and you know, just enjoy the atmosphere.
That's a good point. The big screen at Leichhardt, are you in the Latrim Robinson for Leichhardt this year, Rob?
No, I'm not in the grandstand. No, I was just saying.
GA. Right, okay.
Yeah, they've put me somewhere not undercover and like a couple of rows from the fence, basically. So
yeah, yeah.
And that's not very elevated because I actually had seats there. I'm trying to think of what was the year when Benji kicked the field goal to win the first game against Cronulla. I had tickets there on that, like literally first row on the fence, and you just you really had no proper sight of what was going on. Like you couldn't see the game properly. You're like level with the players on the field, and you couldn't see anything down. You couldn't count numbers. You couldn't do anything. It was quite hard. But there was a bit of action right near me that day because obviously Benji pretty much shot the field goal from in front of my face. So. Like that part of it was good. But when there was play up the other end of the field, I couldn't see Jack.
Yeah. No, Leichhardt definitely, it's a hassle to get in and out. It's not luxury. The big screen sucks. And I've said it 1,000 times, stop putting fucking ads over the replays on the big screen. Because seeing replay, like you mentioned replay, seeing a replay is a massive thing watching. Of course. Football.
A video ref decision, and then you get a Brighton's ad coming on
over
the top of the, and you're trying to think, is it a try or isn't it a try?
Yeah, that fucking shits me. Make it a banner, do whatever. Let us see the freaking replays. I get my phone out and pull KO up and rewind 2 minutes on my phone because I want to see the replay. And obviously not everyone can do that or thinks of doing that. Like improve, make it, you could, just it's all those little things that make the game day experience better, and people will come back. They'll go once and then they'll come back again. Whereas most people, they'll go there and go, well, why the hell did I leave my six pack of beer cold in the fridge and my big screen TV with KO and 4K at home. So, speaking of watching footy this Saturday, so it's a massive day for our juniors. I think it's the first time ever all our junior clubs have played at the same place at once. So it's Balmain v West in Harold Matt's SG Ball. Jersey Flegg are playing their first game of the year. They're playing the Fiji Silk Tails. Lickham Oval, the development under 16s at 9:30. Gates open at 9 a.m. I think they're sending, NRLW players to sign autographs between 12 and 1. So they'll be, just after Harold Matt's finishes. So the West Tigers are sending the merch van out there. So, free for West Tigers members or $5 entry. So I love going to Lincoln Oval to watch the lower grade, mainly because it's about a 5-minute drive from my house, but it's cool going old school. I know, obviously, I wouldn't ever want NRL to be there because it's a cricket oval, and Lincoln Oval, SCG, Henson Park, I'm sorry to all the diehards, they're crap places to watch football. You're too far away. I'd rather... I mean, so is a core stadium, to be fair. But Lincoln Mobile's a great day. A good, chill vibe. I take my son, take a footy, kick a footy on the hill with him. So, yeah, great day out on Saturday. Head out to Lincoln Mobile. Jersey Flegg squad has been announced as well ahead of the first game this weekend. I've got up on the screen now. I won't bother reading out every single name. It's on the West Tigers website, but good luck to our Jersey Flegg boys as they kick off this weekend. Pretty cool having a Fiji team in the comp too. Just quietly, and the New South Wales Cup team got announced as well. So they've added amongst the West Tigers. So there's Declan Casey, Tyler Colley, Josh Fennell, Ryan Garner. I wonder if he's any relation to Luke Garner. Someone might know in the comments. Jay Kirk, Nick Louis Tosso, Jimmy, how do I pronounce that one? Thank you. Ruben Porter, Sione Vaihu, James Valevatu, and Gordon Whippy. So the coaching staff, Aaron Payne, head coach, Shannon Gallant, former Balmain Tiger. Did he play for West Tigers?
West Tigers.
Played Balmain as well, didn't he?
No. Oh, he was 2009. He was in our team when we made that. Run before the Hayne plane demolished us.
I'm thinking of Shannon Nevin. Never mind.
Yeah, you are. Shannon was Balmain.
Shannon Gallant.
Manly as well.
Yeah. Shannon Gallant. Yeah. Fullback. Yeah. Jay McGuinness, physio. Nathan Hamilton, physio. Mark Marmo, strength and conditioning, and Warren Hamilton, manager. Righto, on to the NRL itself. So this is what everyone does, everyone that does rugby league content, be it on Instagram, on a podcast, anywhere on the internet, everyone predicts their table for this season. So we thought we'd have a crack at it as well. As, do you want to go first? Maybe we'll do...
Yeah, sure.
Do we want to do top eight or bottom? We'll go bottom nine first. Do your bottom nine first.
Okay, bottom nine. So I'll start at the bottom, work my way up. Bottom four, I've gone the Dragons, Raiders, Bulldogs, and Titans.
You're on reverse order. Maybe do reverse order. Do for the people that can't see the screen, maybe do nine to 17. Just do in order.
Yeah. Okay. So starting at ninth, I've got the Cowboys, Sharks, Dolphins, Eagles, Tigers, Titans, Bulldogs, Raiders, and Dragons.
Rob?
I'm one of those guys that you were talking about that can't see the screen properly, Josh. So you might want to read mine out for me if you don't mind.
So you've gone Cowboys, Souths, Manly, Titans, Dragons, Bulldogs, Dolphins, Raiders, Tigers. I've gone, so Sharks 9th, Para 10th, maybe a little bit of bias and hatred there, and a little bit of deaf writing. Manly 11th, Titans, Dolphins, Bulldogs, Tigers 3rd last, Raiders, Dragons. So, Az, do you want to give us some reasoning for yours?
Yeah, sure. So the bottom four, I had the Titans, Bulldogs, Raiders, and Dragons from 14th to 17th there. I don't see a lot of upside in some of those teams. Obviously, the Bulldogs have signed about 1,000,001 utility players, so it's going to be a bit of an issue for them, I think, finding what 17 suits them best and what positions suit a lot of players. The Titans, they have a new coach, so I'm not too big of a believer in them this year, but I think with a year under their belt with Dez next year, they can have a really strong crack at the top eight. The Raiders, they've had a couple of big losses over the offseason, and I just don't see a lot of upside for them. I think if this comes to fruition, they're going to be in a little bit of trouble, Ricky Stewart in particular. And Dragons, it's a bit sad, but they are the consensus pick generally for the Spoon this year. And
if it's not us, yeah.
Bit tough. Tigers, I think we're going to land right smack bang in the middle of the bottom nine. I see I'm the biggest believer in the Tigers out of the three of us. Mm. I think we might get off to a bit of a slow start, but I think come mid-season, we could go on a bit of a run. If our halves combination has been clicking, if we've been settled, lack of injuries, that origin period might be a time where we can pick up some wins. And I think that might be enough to get us out of the bottom four if we can have a decent back end of the season as well. Obviously, we've got a lot of home games in that final 4 or 5 weeks, and I think we'll go all right there. As for the teams just missing out, so 9th to 12th, I've gone the Cowboys, Sharks, Dolphins, and Eagles. Cowboys, I think they're going to be really good again this year, but I think they'll probably just barely miss out. Sharks, they have the easiest draw. That's why I've put them up a little bit higher, but I see them struggling a bit this year too. Dolphins, there's a lot of upside in them this year. They have a much better depth than what they did last year, and I think that's going to play a bit of a part. And Manly, yeah, I think they'll be about middle of the road, just like us.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a tough one. Mine are just based on the top. It's hard to do top nine first because it's who I couldn't fit in the top eight and who I think will be better. What about you, Rob?
Yeah, look, exactly your reasoning, Josh. I think there's about 13 or 14 teams
that can make tough.
The eight, and you just can't fit everyone in the eight. So if I kept it pretty simple, and you'll obviously see that when we do who we think will be the winners and the runners up. But until we improve, I still think, you know, we've got to be better. So until I see something, I've got to put us down at last, especially given the trial form. I think Cronulla, Canberra are going to suffer a little bit. I know that, as Aaron said, the Dolphins have bought well. I was hopeful, their trials were terrible. I know they beat the Titans, but the Titans probably had two or three first graders in their trial. So I'm just a bit disturbed about how the Dolphins have started. The Bulldogs, could it all click? Perhaps, but I doubt it. They got too many new pieces, a lot more new pieces than we do. But look, I think the hottest take I've got out of that, everyone's got South in their finals, and I think I said it to you guys last week. I just don't have South in my eight. For them to fall apart the way they did last year, I still think there's problems within that club. And they showed it on the weekend. You know, they held Manly to 6 points till 2 minutes before halftime, and Manly put a whopping score on them, 36 points in the end. So my hot take out of that, I don't think South will make it, but certainly the Cowboys could make it. Manly look good. I don't trust Manly. They're too dependent on a few people. If something goes wrong with Turbo or DCE, you know, then they got Brooksy running the ship, and then they might have problems. So I'm not. I know they've got it. Like, everyone's best team is really good, and Manly were impressive against South the other day. But I don't think South are much chop. So I would rather take Brisbane's loss than Manly's win the other day. So anyway, they could prove me wrong. They played confidently. They looked happy. They've got all the pieces. I just think as a unit they're a little bit mentally weak. They're a little bit fluffy up top.
Righto, as talking about up top, what are your top eight?
So my top four, I've got the Broncos, Panthers, Para, and the Roosters. Fifth to eighth, I've gone the Storm, Warriors, Knights, and I think you've duplicated mine with Rob's there.
Josh, sorry, Az. I had. Sorry, Az. Sorry.
Oh, I was thinking to myself, good job, Aaron. That looked really good.
Yeah, yeah. Go
through the rest of Rob's and I'll bring mine up.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I think Aaron had two different to me from memory. Yeah, but like Aaron said, I think Cronulla's got an easy draw, so I actually put them in the eight, and I think Newcastle's got one of the best draws. And given the fact that they won 8 or 9 in a row last year before the finals, maybe more, I just couldn't leave them out. But, you know, as I said, 14, 15 teams could probably make the eight. And I just went simply. I know Brisbane have lost a few players that I mentioned last week, but I just thought, I mean, can Penrith win 4 in a row? Like their centre pairing looks a little bit different. Like Taylan May's a winger. He's playing in the centres now. They've got a couple of young guys coming through. Can they replace Stephen Crichton? I don't know, but I mean, I think they're going to be up there, no doubt. But I just went for a grand final replay because I just couldn't. I think there's all those teams could win the comp. You know, the Roosters looked really impressive the other day. Their defence is back, but my hot take was Parramatta making the top four. Back line isn't so crash hot. The three quarter line, a bit like us, from number 2 to number 5, they're a bit. I mean, Sivo's good, but he's out for a few weeks. But they've got a great fullback, great halves, and great forwards. So. I think Parra is going to be up there and bounce back this year.
Yeah, see, I've got Parra out of my eight. So, like I said, a bit of death riding. Maybe I've gone Brisbane. I've gone Warriors second. I feel like they're ramping up. They've got the home ground, big home ground advantage, back home, settled, good coach as well. Roger in the team is going to take them to another level. Yeah. They're going to get big crowds. I feel like that the franchise itself is getting big, and I think it's just they'll ride the wave a bit. Storm third. It's the Storm. It's nothing to do with Mr. Bloor going to Melbourne. They just, I don't know, Bellamy always somehow gets them into the top four. Penrith have dropped to fourth. Probably flip those maybe. Maybe do Storm fourth, Penrith third. I don't know. Penrith, they have to... I don't know how serious they're going to go for the whole year. Anyway, a bit of fatigue from, World Club Challenge and just losing Crichton, just a little bit of spark, Spencer Leno as well. So they're slowly chipping away with that team. They got to weaken eventually, surely, but we said that last 2 years, I guess. Roosters fifth. So I've got them just outside the four. You guys have them just inside the four. Rabbitohs, I don't know. I'm way higher on the Rabbitohs than Rob is. With the wrong graphics, as you don't even have the Rabbitohs at all, you've kicked them out of the comp. I've kicked them out of the comp on your behalf with your list. But...
Well, I actually do have them somewhere on the ladder.
Yeah. I just think they got so much talent in the team. Newcastle, like you said, their home ground, similar to the Cowboys as well. I just think they got the home ground advantage to rack up enough wins to get into the top eight. Kalen Ponga staying healthy is almost the same as Tommy Turbo for them as well. Righto, Az, give us your actual top eight.
No worries. So, yep, I've gone the same top two as Rob with the Broncos and Panthers. It's hard to see either of them slipping down after two stellar seasons last year, but I just see Brisbane having that little bit of will to want to improve on last year and like finish top and have, I guess, the easier run through to the grand final, which I have no doubt that they'll be back in again. Third, I've gone the Storm. Fourth, I've gone the Roosters. I think those two teams are going to be really strong, and the Roosters really showed that in the game in Vegas last weekend. I've gone fifth and sixth, the Eels and Rabbits. So I've got the Eels just outside the top four, and I think I mentioned this last week when we did the survey episode. I think the run home for the Eels, the last 7 or so rounds, their run is a lot tougher than the Roosters. And I just think that's going to be the difference going into the finals, is they'll get 1 or 2 less wins than the Roosters do from those last 7 games. Because I have a feeling those two will be very close at that point of the season. Seventh, I've got the Warriors, and eighth, I've got the Knights. My only thing about the Warriors at the moment is, do I feel like I'm sitting on them a little bit? The tricky thing with them is, are they going to fall as catastrophically as the Cowboys did from 2022 to 2023? I don't think they'll fall that far, but I do think they'll fall a little bit. But I still think they're going to be a very consistent team, very tough to beat, particularly at home. But I'm just not sure how they're going to do away from New Zealand. So that'll probably be the main thing there. And the Knights just sneaking into the top eight, I think they're going to probably be about where they were at the back end of last year, just a little bit lower. They just need to get off to a quicker start this year than what they did last year, because they left themselves too much work to do in the back end of the season.
Rob, anything to add?
I did mention it last week, guys. All the Premiership favourites, they've got really tough starts to the year. So I just think whoever gets through these first 4 or 5 weeks with a, 4-1 record or something like that, they've absolutely set themselves up for the rest of the year. Like Aaron was saying about Parra having a tough finish to the year, like South have got, they've got Brisbane, I think, second round in Brisbane. I think they've got the Roosters in their grudge match the week after. So South could potentially start 0-3. So it's just, if you can get through these first few weeks from the top teams, then I think you're pretty set. But if you're only going to like win one game or no games out of the first 4 or 5 weeks, the pressure's on. So it'll be interesting to see how it all pans out.
Gussie, he's sent us another $5. Gussie, you're an absolute legend. As doing a ready super chat, as I fix your top eight for the screen, read out what Gussie said for us.
No worries. So shout out to our CEO for seeking a non-interim involvement. I've asked you time and time again, Josh, to move that like button. I nearly broke my neck. Quality, Gussie. Quality.
Good on you, Gussie. All right. Just adding the... anything else to add to your table, Az? So I bring it the graph. By the time I got it actually up and running, we're probably going to move on anyway, but just wanted to justice.
We are taking a big risk tipping the Broncos. Aaron, have you tipped the Broncos to win or to be runners-up?
So I've gone Broncos to win against the Storm in the grand final.
Okay, because I just think the one thing, like even though we've tipped the Broncos to win the comp, the one thing like we've got to be wary of is, you're right, like they're going to have that hunger to bounce back, but at the same time, they could also have that letdown factor. Like when you consider, the Broncos of, what was it, 2015, that lost that grand final in Golden Point to the Cowboys, it's hard to overcome like a premiership you should have won, because the Broncos, Penrith had to score 3 times to come back and get the lead. So they've absolutely just given that grand final up that they should have won. And that's, if they can overcome that mental side of it, they'll be okay. But you just got to worry, will they be able to just wipe that away and get back into the full swing of things like they did last year?
It's the old runners-up hangover.
I don't think so. I think Brisbane are going to carve up this year. Just Reece Walsh is going to be better. How old is he? 22? He's going to get better. Like, they got a very... The side's pretty... Like, the stars on the side are fairly young. They're only going to get better. Brisbane's a fortress to play at. They get to play... I guess, was it their home game in Vegas or away game?
They were away.
Away, so they get a bonus Suncorp game in Magic Round, so they get to play at Suncorp 13 or 14
that,
times.
But I'm pretty sure they play the Dolphins.
The Dolphins at as well.
Twice as well. So
yeah,
I think they only leave Queensland 6 or 7 times throughout the entire season. The vast majority of their season is played up there.
Yeah. It's it makes you sick, but I think they're going to dominate this year. We only play, do we play once or twice this year?
Just once. All of last year's top four, we only have them all once each.
Beautiful. At least that's something. Righto, stats man. What do you got for us for your stat of the week?
So it's not so much a stat of the week, but interesting decisions regarding some of the team lists I had pulled up. Josh, I'll let you talk about yours first.
Yeah, of course. I mentioned earlier that Sean Bloor named 18th. I don't think I mentioned Sean Blight. I don't think I mentioned his name. 18th man. What are you doing, Bellamy? But I did see someone in our Patreon Discord mention whoever they've named at 17 has been named for their feeder side in the Queensland Cup, and Sean Blight hasn't. So might be a late change. So look, number 18 on his back, Peyton Manning, the great quarterback, wore number 18. So maybe I should wear my Peyton Manning jersey on what day did the Storm play? They're Friday, aren't they?
Friday night.
Maybe I should wear my Peyton Manning jersey. It's just a tribute to the 18 jersey. What else you got for us, Az?
So a couple. Firstly, looking at the Raiders for tomorrow night's game, I was really surprised that they went with Ethan Strange in 5'8 over KO Weeks. I feel like there's a bit more upside to KO Weeks and potential there, but I can't complain too much because Ethan Strange is in my fantasy, my super coach team, so I really need him to do well. not too much concerned me with the Warriors and Sharks. They were both lining up pretty much as I thought they would be. Where was the other one I was looking at? Oh, yeah, the Eels. Three quarters of their bench are ex-Tigers, so I just thought that was a fun little fact there. They've got Brendan Hands, who's a pretty talented dummy half who will spend a fair bit of time playing there. As for the rest of them, Ryan Madison, Joe Offa-Hengawi, and Kel Mutualangi are all rather obvious names to us.
That's pretty funny.
The Dogs, I was really surprised they didn't select Stephen Crichton at fullback, considering when they signed him pretty early in 2023, the talk was around him being signed to play fullback. And being the captain in the centers, I don't know, it just seems like a bit of a strange decision to me. I don't think I can talk too much because I'm pretty sure we had Adam Dewey maybe captaining us from the centers at some point. The rest of their team, though, is as expected, but obviously Bronson Cherry misses out because of the whole Stephen Crichton playing in the centers thing, despite him having two strong trials.
I'm trying to think of Sam Verrill. I'll stop you there, as Rob, trying to think of centers that have been captains. Mal Meninga was captain, Canberra.
Oh, gosh. Mal Meninga. I'd say Michael O'Connor at some stage would have been a captain. I'm going back a long time there.
Mm.
Oh, you've caught me off guard, Josh, as you love to do.
Did Gisnia ever captain the Dragons?
There's not too many centres, actually. Did Brent Tate maybe captain the Cowboys at one stage? I'm not sure. I feel like when Brent Tate came back from the Warriors.
Let us know in the comments if you think of any. Or Google
I'd have to go back 30 or 40 years to find captains like, you know, Steve Rogers and those sort of guys. But, too hard for me to think of.
Keep going, Az.
So on the Titans now, obviously they've got a couple of injuries and suspensions. Their fullback, whose name escapes me right now, Jaden Campbell, is out injured. And they've also got David Fifita injured as well. So a couple of interesting changes there. The thing that surprises me, though, is I thought they'd have Chris Randall is in jersey 9 and Sam Verrills is in jersey number 14. I honestly thought those two would play swapped. So Verrills starting at hooker and Chris Randall coming off the bench for a little bit of impact. And then just on the Cowboys, I'm very surprised Kyle Felt is still playing while they've got Semi Valame sitting in the reserves. I feel like, obviously, Kyle Felt's getting a little bit older now, and there's a lot more upside to Semi Valame because he played quite well for the Cowboys when he played last year. And I think Tommy McAlee, another ex-Tiger, is a little bit hard done by to miss out on being a part of their bench. But when you look at their bench, you've got Griffin Neem, Sam McIntyre, and Kulakefu Finifuiaki. It's tough to break the spot of any of those guys, and that's a pretty solid bench, I think.
We just lost Rob, so just saw Dave. I was going to ask him, David, in the comments, mentioned ET. How could I forget? Of course, Andrew Enninghausen, Ryan Girdler, the Panthers as well. Righto, we've lost Rob for a bit. He's having issues with the phone, the sound. on his phone, and Rob Shadamus is next. Great timing. Great timing, Rob. We'll go to tips. We'll do Rob Shadamus after it. So obviously we all tipped South Broncos. We've all gone Knights. We've all gone Warriors. Rob and I have gone Storm. You've gone the Panthers as?
Yeah, this is a tough one. Obviously the Storm are at home. The Panthers have to travel down there. But I think the Panthers are going to have a bit of a chip on their shoulder in this game. Obviously, the last game they played was losing the World Club Challenge, and I think they're going to be hungry. Obviously, they've got Jerome Luai back in, which is a massive in for them. I just think they're going to be a little bit too strong. It's going to be an absolute cracker of a game, but I think they're going to just pip the Storm at the post, maybe potentially in Golden Point, like the Storm did to the Eels in round one last year, which kept their round one unbeaten streak going.
Just talking, Rob, as we bring you back in, Panthers, Storm. You and I have gone Storm, but Az has gone Panthers. For me, it's the home ground. I think the Storm haven't lost. Is that round one streak still going for the Storm? It's like 20 years or something.
It is. Yeah. Every year that Bellamy's been their coach, they've won in the first round.
Yeah, well, I've got to say, guys, and it's probably not a good thing for our listeners to hear this, but I'm very confident that I could get none out of eight this week. So it's a very, very hard round to tip. And that Storm Panthers one, I think Penrith will be hurting from that World Club Challenge loss. But at the same time, they've had to travel back from overseas, you know, go down to Melbourne, who are pretty good first round. Pezzet's been playing well. So they're not going to, I mean, Munster's a great player, but they're not going to miss too much there. I think they've got a massive height advantage on the wings. I went Melbourne, but gosh, that might be one of those Golden Point games. It's just, and I think there's quite a few games that could go to Golden Point this weekend. But yeah, that's a really tough one to pick.
We've all gone Eels over the Doggies. We've all gone Titans over the Dragons. And crazy in the comments, crazy praying mantis reckons Dragons are specials. $2.65.
They're playing well. They're playing very well.
Yeah, they looked pretty good. So, hey, Brandon W. sent us $8 on a super chat. What a legend, Brandon. So, going to the Raiders game now with a mate. Tigers win. He wears a Tigers jersey. Tigers lose. I have a drink. I have to drink a disgusting Canberra milk. Come on, Tigers. Is it a lime milk?
Good stuff.
I love a lime. Are you guys a fan of a lime thick shake? I love a lime thick shake from Donut King. I reckon it's...
Can't say I've tried one.
Yeah, it doesn't sound appetizing. I'm normally a caramel person, and I thought I'll try it once. It's actually really good, lime thick shake. Just, but good on you, Brandon. Thank you for the $8. Heading to the game next week. You just, yeah, send us the equivalent of a beer at the footy. So nice work, man. Thank you. Last game, Rob and I have gone Cowboys. As you reckon the Dolphins can get up in this one. Where's this one at?
Suncorp, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Yeah, I think as Rob said when we're talking top eight, I think the Dolphins are pretty rubbish. So I think the Cowboys will smack them. I think they're probably my bet of the week. I don't think that's that. Looking at the betting odds, the Knights are the shortest favourites. But look, I don't think any teams, no team's paying more than $3. So, yeah, good sign that.
Yeah, I commented on that to Dad last week, I think it was, looking at the odds for all eight of the round one games. I was surprised at how close the odds are for pretty much all of them.
Yeah, so no... And we're $2.42 to beat Canberra next week. So, it's a sign because in years past, we've had literally eights and nines. I mean, it might still happen later in the year, but we've had, $8, $9. And, of course, we beat South and Para at $8. So,
correct.
Any of those tips, Rob Shadamus, that are specials for you? We'll talk about Rob Shadamus as well.
Yeah, I really, like I said, I'm not like, I just think it's crazy to be so confident when teams haven't played a proper NRL game yet. So I normally give it 3 or 4 weeks before I start sort of saying, you know, with confidence, I think this team's going to win or lose. That said, I really do like the Knights, although Canberra have got a massive revenge factor, you know, given they got beaten by them in Golden Point up there last year. So I've got to, you know, you've got to factor that in. But I think the Knights have got, you know, Ponga plays well, they win. It's just that simple. I think the Eels are playing well enough to beat Canterbury. And like you, I probably my third pick would be the Cowboys. But, you know, for people that are like, you don't have to bet on games to, you know, bet on teams to win. You can bet on points scored. I think the Titans and St. George will be a high-scoring game. So, you know, I'd probably be taking the overs or something like that. But it's just too hard to predict, Josh. But we do have good weather this week, so I'd expect some you know, a lot of high scores in most of the games except the Melbourne-Penrith game.
You're giving us a horse bet for this week. Sydney Race 6, number 3. Is it Remarkey or Remark?
Remark, I think. I think it's called Remark. Yeah. It's got a really good first up record. Does get back in its races, even though it's barrier one. But I just think we'll stick with one tip there because we've been going pretty good on these horses. So that's that tip. And then I've given you 3 try scorers there, Josh. You might want to read them out. Two of them are right wingers. Yeah, 2 of them are right wingers and 1 of them is a left winger. But I just saw Canberra's trial where Felt got a million tries on Canberra's left edge. So I think they've got a massive problem there, and I'm hoping they keep that problem for when we play them as well. So I'm pretty sure Tuala will be the right winger because Margie normally plays on the left. So let's just hope they don't swap the wingers around. If they don't, I'd have Tuala in there for a try. Again, Warbrick, he's a right winger for Melbourne, and Penrith's left winger Taruva had a shocker in England. So and he's got a massive height advantage, got a great leap. So I think if Melbourne are going to get a try, that might be the one there. And Khan Pereira, he's up against our old mate Zach Lomax, who's playing out of position. And Pereira's the fastest guy in the comp. I can also see Brian Kelly having a little bit too much speed for Jack Bird. So if Kelly can get around Bird and create that overlap and give Khan Pereira some ball in space, I think, you know, he'll probably score a try as well. So I think if you multi those 3 try scorers up and, you know, maybe leave the horse out of it, just do the horse separately or something, and gamble responsibly.
Gamble responsibly. And if you are a gambling company out there and you would like to sponsor us, look, bonus bets. Give us some bonus bets or something and we'll give you a shout out. Podcast at westlife.com. We've done our tips. What have we got left? Lower grades, as I mentioned, I did mention them in the news already, but yeah, team lists are out. Balmain v. West in Harold Matz and SG Ball. Jersey Flegg have their first game against Fiji. Tashgale, Lissa, Fia, Ola, they have the bye along with the first grade side. And Laurie Daly Cup and Andrew Johns Cup, they are finished their season. So shout out to our Patreon members, patreon.com/WestLife. I don't know if the boys left us anything, but since Monday night, so looks like we might have an early mark, boys. We've almost got an hour out of a bye round, which is pretty good. Yep, no one's. That's all right. But yeah, shouts to our Patreon members. Anyway, next episode, Monday, we'll review the footy that went on the weekend. We'll talk more West Tigers. I'm sure, look, as it becomes game day week or game week, there'll be more West Tigers stuff to talk about. Thank you to the dozens of you that joined us tonight live, and Brandon and Gussie throwing us some money in the super chats. Truly appreciate it. Building up nicely, possibly a trip to Vegas if the West Tigers get named, but we'll see how we go. Boys, anything to add before we head into the second half of round one this weekend? Shout outs. I might give a shout out to, not that they listen because they don't give a shit about footy or the West Tigers. My sister-in-law is getting married on Saturday, and shouts to Carla, my sister-in-law, my wife's sister, getting married on Saturday in the city, to Daniele, a big, fun Italian wedding to, have some food, have some drinks, and celebrate love, Rob.
Yeah, well, I've got really nothing to add except to say enjoy your last stress-free weekend for a long time, because we're back.
Are you talking about getting the wedding?
No, I'm talking about watching the footy, mate. Talking about watching the footy. So just enjoy the footy in a nice, mild manner, because come next weekend we'll be all fired up and ready to go.
As anything to add?
Yeah, no, I'm the same. I'm looking forward to watching 6 really good games of footy over this weekend, starting tomorrow. Well, actually, I'll be watching tomorrow's delay because I'm going to the SCG for opening round there. But yep, my Swannies hosting the Melbourne Demons to kickstart their season. But yeah, bring on next week. Tigers footy is well and truly on the way.
Who are Richmond playing, Rob?
I did not even look, mate.
Gold Coast, win.
It's normally the Carlton. We normally play Carlton first round every year, so I just
as you said, Gold Coast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they've got so opening round. Only eight teams are playing in opening round. You've got one game tomorrow, one Friday, and two Saturday. But round one next weekend does kick off with the traditional Tigers Blues game.
Oh, are they in preseason still? Are they?
No, they've got like a round zero. They've called it opening round. They've got two games in Sydney and two games in Queensland. So
does it count for points?
Yes, it does.
So Richmond are going up against their old coach, premiership winning coach, this weekend.
Correct. Up on the Gold Coast.
That'll be worth watching.
All right. I don't really. Shane just mentioned the 1% club too. Were you on it tonight?
No, not this episode. Like I said,
come on, Jim.
Like I said on Monday, as soon as I see the promo for my episode, because I'll either recognize a question or I'll recognize someone that Jim spoke to, I'll let the Twitter world and the Discord world know as soon as I know.
Right, everyone. Enjoy your weekends. Yeah, have a nice, relaxing, stress-free, non-Tigers. We've got the 2 points. On to next week. Big shows for us next week as we lead into the West Tigers season kickoff. And to our thousands of listeners, every single episode, love yous all, and we'll see you next time. As always, boys, go the Tigers.
Go the Tigers.
Go the Tigers.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the West Life Podcast. Please follow us at West Life Pod on Instagram and Twitter, and facebook.com/WestLifePod. You can also support and take part in the show at patreon.com/WestLife, and give us a subscribe on YouTube and turn notifications on. We'll see you again next time on another episode of the West Life Podcast.